Kings chapter 9. Second Kings chapter 9, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, Gird up thy loins, and take this box of oil in thy hand, and go to Ramoth-Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise from among his brethren, and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head, and say, Thus saith the Lord, I have appointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee, and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting, and he said, I have an errand unto thee, O captain. And Jehu said, Unto which of all us? And he said, To thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Jehu came forth to the servants of his lord, and one said unto him, Is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, Ye know the man and his communication. And they said, It is false. Tell us now. And he said, Thus and thus spake he to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs and blew with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had kept Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, because of Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram was returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him when he fought with Hazael in king of Syria. And Jehu said, If it be your minds, then let none go forth nor escape out of the city to go to tell it in Jezreel. So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, where for Joram lay there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. And there stood a watchman on the tower in Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came, and said, I see a company. And Joram said, Take an horseman and send to meet them, and let him say, Is it peace? So there went one on horseback to meet him, and said, Thus saith the king, Is it peace? And Jehu said, What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, The messenger came to them, but he cometh not again. Then he sent out a second on horseback, which came to them, and said, Thus saith the king, Is it peace? And Jehu answered, What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, He came even unto them, and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. And Joram said, Make ready. And his chariot was made ready. And Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. And they went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, Is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? And Joram turned his hands and fled, and said to Ahaziah, "There is treachery, O Ahaziah." And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, "Take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab, his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plat, saith the Lord. Now therefore take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord." But when Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house, and Jehu followed after him and said, "Smite him also in the chariot." And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Ibleam. And he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his sepulcher with his fathers in the city of David. And in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Had Zimri peace who slew his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trode her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, "Go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, This is Jezebel." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So I'll remind you again of 1 Kings chapter 19, where Elijah was told he had three things to do: to anoint Elisha, to anoint Hazael, and to anoint Jehu. And we noted last hour that it was indeed Elisha that anointed the two kings after he was anointed by Elijah. So we have that succession of the ministry of Elijah. It was Elijah and Elisha both that said what Jehu said at the end of the chapter, right? That the dogs shall lick the blood of Jezebel, and she shall not be buried. She shall die the death of the covenant breaker. Her flesh, her bones shall be spread across the ground. You see, the thing is this. This is why we bury, okay? This is why, you know, when grandpa dies, you don't just run him down the garbage disposal. Why do we do that? Because it is a reminder of the resurrection. And when we go to someone's gravesite and it has their grave marker on there and their name is written there, we know that that which is buried there is still, in some sense, them. And it will be remembered, not just by us because of the gravestone, but by the Lord in the day of the resurrection. So the picturesque nature of the death of the covenant breaker, to have your bones and flesh spread across the ground like just so much trash, is there's no place anyone can go and say, "This is Jezebel." That's exactly how it was put here. "This is Jezebel." Nobody's going to find a grave marker that says Jezebel. Why? Because her death is as the death of the covenant breaker, which has no remembrance that follows it, no witness to it of the resurrection, although she will be resurrected, but it will be the resurrection of condemnation for her. So that's the biblical picture of that that's being taught here. Okay, so here we are then in chapter 9. So we have a very interesting thing. At the beginning of us hearing of Jehu here, now let us remember that this is a different Jehu from Jehu the prophet that met Jehoshaphat on his return from his collusion with Ahab. That's a different Jehu altogether. The Jehoshaphat that is mentioned here as the father of Jehu is not King Jehoshaphat. It's a different Jehoshaphat from the northern kingdom in the line of Nimshi, not in the line of David. Okay, so some of the names can be confusing in these middle chapters of 2 Kings, but if we could maybe keep them straight, that'll help for understanding in the passage. So Elisha calls up one of the young men. It's called the children of the prophets. Literally, it's the sons of the prophets. These are those men that were prophets in training under Elijah and Elisha, now just Elisha, of course. And he sends him to Ramoth-Gilead, where Jehu is captain over the forces. And he says, you're going to anoint Jehu to be king over the northern kingdom, Israel. So he goes. He's on his errand. And he says, and by the way, when you're done, run out the door, leave, don't tarry, don't stay with them. Well, that's an odd thing to say, isn't it? And yet, we find out because of the designs of Jehu, it is a good thing, right? That's good counsel to that young man not to hang around with this prurient desire to see somebody killed. Get out of there, you don't belong in that business. Get back to school, get back to the school of the prophets, in other words. So he does, he anoints Jehu king, but notice what happens. He walks in. He says, I have an errand, and Jehu says, who's it for? It's for you. Okay, so they go in the other room, and he leaves, and then he comes back in, and he one of the men asks him, what did he have to say? And Jehu says, well, you know the man. What does he mean by that? What exactly does he mean? It means that these hardened soldiers really had little time for the prophets. You know, the prophets, what do? They wander around the countryside singing. They prophesy by this sing-songy thing. Da-da-da-da-da, you know. And they're mad. Right? Oh, the man is mad. As the man is, so is his message. Don't worry about it. And then the other soldier replies, and if I can maybe put an interpretive spin on it for you, he says, oh, he's probably lying anyway. Don't worry about it. So they didn't have much respect for the prophets. You can see this sort of in this bloodthirstiness of Jehu. He's condemned, by the way, in Hosea chapter 13. Jehu is for shedding unjust blood. The unjust blood he sheds in the chapters we've seen, he had a commission to go and to take care of Joram, but he did not have a commission to go take care of Ahaziah. Ahaziah was simply a bonus for him, right? Ahaziah could have returned home and continued to reign. It was the death of Ahaziah, the son of Joram and Athaliah, that brought Athaliah to the throne. And so Hosea condemns Jehu for the blood that he shed in Ramoth-Gilead. I'm sorry, in Jezreel. He was condemned for that because he went beyond his commission. So Jehu then takes off and he's riding furiously, right? Note that he does one thing good here, and that is he speaks to all of his captains and he says, if it be your mind, let us do this together. He builds a consensus among those fellow civil authorities. Well, that's what our civil authorities ought to be doing, is as far as is possible without compromise, building consensus, right? And so they head off then to Jezreel, where Joram is, and Ahaziah has showed up there as well. And of course, Joram sees somebody coming. They send out a messenger, and is it peace? And Jehu says, well, what have you to do with peace? Get thee behind me. What does Jehu mean? Well, we're not left to doubt in that. Out of Jehu's mouth himself, he says, how can there be peace, when he speaks to King Joram, while the whoredoms of thy mother still inhabit this land? There can be no peace if we have no peace with God. And so he has the right attitude about things. But what we're going to see about Jehu throughout his career is that he often goes beyond the bounds of obedience and propriety. He has zeal, but very often it's a misplaced zeal that goes beyond the bounds of propriety. This is the buzz that we need to remember with regard to Jehu. Should Ahaziah have been there consorting with Jehoram? No, he shouldn't have been there. Did he deserve to die for it? No, he did not. That was beyond Jehu's commission. So we need to remember that about Jehu. So we learned that that Jehu will indeed speak the truth to King Jehoram when he says, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answers him, "How can there be peace when the whoredoms of thy mother, that is Jezebel, when they inhabit the land?" And so Jehoram gets the message and he says to Ahaziah, "There's a conspiracy. We better get out of here." And of course, that's when Jehu draws the bow with all of his might and he strikes Jehoram in the back, who's fleeing from him, and the arrow comes out at the front. He slumps down in his chariot and he's dead. Had it stopped there, that would have been the end of his commission. But no, Jehu was a furious driver and a furious war maker, right? War fighter. And so what does he do? He ends up also pursuing after Ahaziah and making sure that he's dispatched as well. Okay, so that brings that first vignette to a close. So now he returns to Jezreel, and when he returns to Jezreel, Jezebel hears that he's returning and what he has done. And she reminds him of the early days of the monarchy after Jeroboam the First, when it was accession to the throne by assassination, and how one king after another fell to his to the man that assassinated him. And so she says, "Well, I wouldn't want to be in your moccasins right now. Did it go well with Zimri when he slew his master? Ooh, you're in trouble." That's how she threatens him. But first she does something else. And this has gotten a lot of press in Puritan circles. She paints her face and tires her head. Why did she do that? Why did she make sure her makeup was perfect before she stuck her head out the window, or maybe we should say stuck her neck out the window, and said to Jehu what she did? Well, I think because she was vain. Her religion was a religion of vanity and indulgence in the flesh. And so she thought that she might gain a little favor with Jehu by sticking her head out the window. Turns out she stuck her neck out the window instead, and he lopped it off for her, didn't he? Notice that Jehu never addresses her. He doesn't even talk to her. She sticks her head out the window and threatens him, and he says, "Which one of you up there is with me?" And there are two or three eunuchs, and he says, "Cast her down," and they do. And they cast her down. And then Jehu finishes her off with his horse and chariot, running her over, trampling her in the street. And then they go in, eat and drink for a while. And then Jehu's, for some reason, it's very difficult to know why, he says, "Well, maybe we ought to bury her. She is the king's daughter after all." Right? She was the daughter of Ethbaal. And so they go out and they find her, and they can't find her. And when they can't find her, it's difficult to know whether Jehu was simply setting the stage for the prophecy to be well known, or if he actually thought they would find her. But they didn't. They just found her skull and her hands and her feet, and the rest of her were scattered across the countryside in the stomach of dogs. Right? And so Jehu says, "Well, this is what Elijah said." Notice that it was Elisha that told him that, but it was Elijah that originally said it. Remember that it was the showdown on Mount Carmel that caused the anger of Jezebel to be ignited against Elijah, not Elisha, but Elijah. So Elijah was the first, Elisha was the second that spoke it, and then Jehu was the third, not as a prophet, but as the one who was responsible for her death, and that's how she died. So she is the epitome of the death of the covenant breaker. All right, so in the next chapter, we'll see also that Jehu is, as to put it in his own words, "Come and see my zeal." Well, we will understand that Jehu is a zealous man, but not always zealous wisely, right? And one of the lessons we learn from him is how to regulate our own zeal with godly wisdom. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praying.